We'll be continuing in Mark. I was in Mark 5, the first part of it last week, and remember we talked about the evangelist of Gadara rather than the demoniac of Gadara, but the evangelist. So we'll pick up after that. Jesus, having freed the evangelist of Gadara, he had left the country of the Gadareans as per the request of its own citizens. They no longer wanted Jesus around. As far as they were concerned, he messed up their livelihood, and they said, get out. So Jesus goes back across the Sea of Galilee and apparently to Capernaum. There was many people had gathered around as Jesus returned from the shore. So let us pray, and we'll dive into the Word tonight. Father, we're grateful and thankful for the opportunity to worship together, the opportunity to look into your Word together tonight. Father, we just pray that you would speak. Speak to us all, Lord. Teach us what you'd have us to know. Lord, help us that we might live a life that brings you glory. If there's one here tonight that doesn't have a personal relationship with Jesus, before the service is over, they would come to him and trust him as Savior. Thank you for what you're going to do, Father, and we give you glory. Amen. All right. So we'll look at verses 21 through 43, and we'll read through those real quick, and then we'll kind of give a little commentary on them. But in Mark chapter 5, and this is also in Matthew and also in Luke as well, the same account, a little bit of their own take on each one. But we'll look at Mark's account of Jairus and his 12-year-old daughter that was sick, and also the woman with the issue of blood. Okay, so beginning in 21, it says, and when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. And he besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. Jesus went with them, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing of himself, in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press, and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. And while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and when they wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make you this ado and weep? The damsel was not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother and damsel, and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Talitha cumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with the great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Now again, we're back across the sea, and earlier Jesus had preached there and taught there, and he was out on the ship, and talked to him there, and then they sailed off, went across to the land of the Gadareans, and now he's back. And of course, a great group of people come to hear. It was quite a different from the greeting he just got from the other land he was at. But there were so many people around that they crowded around him, and there wasn't a whole lot of room to walk. And Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, he came and met Jesus. It's interesting, someone that a Jewish leader recognized some authority in Jesus, because he bowed down before Jesus and gave him reverence. Remember back in Gadara, the demoniac bowed down at the feet of Jesus. Now the ruler of the synagogue is bowed down before Jesus. That doesn't mean that the ruler had demons. That just means that he recognized there was some authority in Jesus. And he's coming on behalf of someone else. He was coming to the Son of God. He may not really fully understood everything about Jesus, but he knew there was something different. He heard him speak. He heard him preach. He heard his message. He's probably heard of the miracles, maybe even seen some. So he came on behalf of someone else, and happened to be his 12-year-old daughter that was laying at the point of death. It's not that she was maybe die in a few months. He knew that she could be dead at any moment, and he was in deep desperation as he sought the help of the Master. In fact, he came to Jesus and asked to go lay hands on his daughter that she would be healed. Now understand, this is a common practice for temple priests, that they would go and they lay hands on the sick and the afflicted and pray for them. Again, he was recognizing the authority in Jesus by what he was doing. Jesus was Jairus' last hope that his daughter could be saved. There was no one else he could run to, no one else he could turn to, no one else that could do anything about it except Jesus. So Jesus turns to go with him. Let's go. We'll take care of this. Let's go to your house. But the crowd of people, the Bible tells us, thronged about him. A tight press. I imagine their pace was kind of slow. It wasn't like they could take off and make haste and get there quickly. And as they were going, there was a lady in amongst the crowd that reached out and grabbed a hold of him. And interesting, this lady, the Bible tells us, had an issue of blood, or a flow of blood. That for 12 years, she spent everything she had to be healed and was never cured, went to all kind of doctors, and no one could do anything. But she heard of Jesus and heard of his reputation, and her too came believing in her heart that if she just touched his garments, she could be healed. The interesting thing to consider is that this woman, if she had an issue of blood, a flow of blood, was considered unclean, and anyone that she come in contact with would then be considered unclean. So at the risk of grabbing onto Jesus and making Jesus unclean, she went in all the faith she could muster and grabbed a hold of Jesus. It was very interesting. It was interesting to note that had she got a hold of Jesus and made him unclean, that Jesus would have no longer been able to go to Jairus' daughter and heal her, for he'd have been considered unclean. And thank God that he's the Son of God, and there was no worries of that taking place. But as she reaches out and grabs him, she's immediately healed. Immediately. She feels it within her, and Jesus stops. And I can only imagine, as Jairus is waiting in anxiety and despair as his 12-year-old daughter is laying on her deathbed, I'm wondering if he's kind of trying to pull Jesus along. Come on, Jesus, come on, let's go. And yet Jesus stops and cries out, "Who touched me? Who touched my clothes?" And of course, the disciples are standing around, and I got to imagine it was probably Peter leading out the proclamation. The Bible doesn't say, just knowing Peter looked at Jesus and said, "Hey, Jesus, look at all the people around here. What do you mean, who touched you?" It's like, come on, Jesus. Everybody's touching you. How are we supposed to pick this out? But Jesus knew, because there was virtue that went from him. Instead of Jesus becoming unclean, Jesus cleansed the woman. The woman that was probably an outcast, no one wanted her around, was now made whole. Her life was going to be completely changed because she had faith to reach out to the Master. when Jesus looked to the crowd and was trying to find who did it, she was trembling. The Bible says she had fear and trembling. And imagine part of that was already there. She sought to reach out and touch him, maybe even knowing that she was unclean and the possibilities and the ramifications that had. Or even maybe that she would have not been healed and this would have been her last desperation and nothing would happen. We don't know why there was fear and trembling, but she was filled with fear and trembling. But she did recognize that something did happen in it. And she too went before him and fell at his feet and told him all that he had. She recognized who he was. And she told all. 12 years of a sickness that she sat and told all to Jesus. That's not something that can be summed up in a few words. This lady told a story. Her story. And I can only imagine Jairus on the side, anxious and concerned, stressed out, wondering why in the world is this woman stopping? Jesus has got something important to do. And she's still alive. There's not a problem. My kid's about to die. I can only imagine what he felt like. I know what it's like when my kids get sick and they run a fever and they're laying and looking lethargic. The concern that comes over as a parent. And Jairus is feeling the same thing as he's waiting. And he's waiting and waiting. And then finally, what he feared the most happened. Word comes and says, "Your daughter's dead. Why trouble the master? Why trouble him?" And I can picture Jairus as he gets the news. As he gets the news that his daughter has died. As the master was coming. As a lady that was seemingly whole or seemingly had life, stopped the whole crowd of people. As Jesus said unto his daughter, "Thy faith has made you whole. Go in peace." I can picture Jairus. Tears begin to flow. And his body begins to shake. That's the worst thing he could ever think of happening just happened. And that his daughter died. And I'm just wondering as he's thinking of these things, if there wasn't a moment that he thought of what Jesus said when Jesus told the woman, "Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole." You see, Jesus called the lady with the issue, but he called her daughter. And she described that she had 12 years of this problem, and his daughter was 12 years old. And so I wonder if maybe this is going to be played in Jairus' mind as he hears these things. And Jesus looks at Jairus and he says, "Fear not, only believe." Or, "Don't be afraid, only believe." Being the words coming from Jesus, that had to bring peace over Jairus' heart. Had to bring peace to him. Again, after what he just witnessed and what he just heard, and Jesus said, "Don't be afraid, only believe." And of course, they take off to the house, and the rest of the story, they get there, and Jesus and three of the disciples, everybody else stayed, and Jesus goes in and raises the young lady. She's not dead, and you got a whole group of people there mourning and carrying on and having a wailing time. And Jesus says, "She's not dead. She's only sleeping." And they laugh at him. A room of people with no faith. Three disciples with some faith. And a daddy that has desperate faith. I'm not even sure he fully understands what's going on. But his daughter walks out alive. And his whole life was changed. Two women. One 12 years with issue blood. One 12 years old. Entire life was changed because of faith. Because of believing. Because of what Jesus did. Change the outcome of their life. Forever. Never to be the same. never to walk the same, never to live the same, never to think the same, never to be the same. Two ladies restored and made whole. Those wonderful, wonderful recounts of what Jesus can do. But this is what I want you to take from this tonight. It doesn't matter what you're facing, how long you've been dealing with it, or if you've tried everything man and money can do, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. The lady with the issue of blood recognized it. Jairus recognized it, that Jesus was the answer. They may not have fully understood that he was the Son of God and all the ramifications with that, but they did know that Jesus was the answer, and they sought Jesus and they went to him because there was nothing they could do. They were at the end of their rope. And so, folks, it doesn't matter what you're dealing with. Jesus is the answer.
Amen. Amen.
He can bring peace. He can make you whole. Even more importantly, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, he can save you. His words were only believe. He didn't ask Jairus to pay any money at the temple. He didn't require the woman to dedicate her whole life to service and join the local church. He said, believe. My faith has made you whole. Only believe. For the one who's never trusted Christ. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior tonight, there may be you walking in life trying to fill an empty void in your life. There's something inside that's telling you that this isn't all it. There's something more, something I'm missing. You try everything under the sun to fill it. That void can only be filled by Jesus. You see, God created us to have a relationship with him. And because that relationship was destroyed way back in the garden, it leaves an empty hole in our life. And you may try to fill your life with everything under the sun. You may try to fill it with the next party, with the next drink, with the next drug, whatever it may be. The next fishing trip. Not that there's anything wrong with fishing, but if it's what you're living for, it'll never bring you peace. It'll never bring you whole. It'll always leave you empty, wanting more. But Jesus offers you to come to him. Reach out and touch Jesus. Reach out, cry out to Jesus, and only believe Jesus can make you whole. He can take away that empty void, and he can give you peace. He did it for the woman with the issue of blood. Gave everything in her life to try to have it cured. And yet all it took was a little belief. And Jesus made her whole. Will you trust in faith tonight? And for the child of God, have you been trying to manage life by your own means and it's failing miserably? Boy, I've been there, done that. Try to take things in your own hands, do it your way. The Holy Spirit speaks to you and says, I want you to do this. And you say, no, I got it. I'll do it my way. That's something you're going through tonight. Has the weight of the world burdened you down? Has it stunted your spiritual growth? Does it have you on your spiritual deathbed? Only believe. Give it to Jesus. Let him take it. And he'll bring you back to life. He'll give you a new spiritual life. For the one that doesn't know Christ, he'll give you a whole new life. For the one that does know Christ, he will revive your life. Let him cleanse you and let him give you peace. Second thing I want you to get for this is Jesus can give you new life. He has the power to do that. Jesus has the power to give new life. Death holds no power over Jesus. He raised people from the dead as when he walked the earth. There was never a funeral Jesus attended. Everybody was always brought back to life. Even if they were dead for several days, he spoke the word and they were back to life. There is no death in Jesus. Amen. And well, this old body might die, but in Jesus there's no death. Jesus died, and 3 days later he rose from the grave. He gave victory over the grave. He's alive, and he's wanting to give you new life. He's wanting you to have life more abundantly, he said. That doesn't mean your life will be filled with riches, but it'll be fulfilled in him. He will fulfill his life in you. And what does he require? Only have faith and believe. Have faith and believe. That's what he told Jairus. Have faith and believe. The lady with the issue of blood, she had faith and believed as she just reached out and touched that he could change, and he can do that for you. You know, we use the words repent and believe. And that repent part is the part where they recognize that something needed to change and they couldn't do nothing about it. And we have to do that in our own life. We have to understand that we can't get to God on our own. This lady couldn't get healing on her own. Understand everything she was trying to do, it didn't work. She had to do it Christ's way. And she didn't know it that way. It happened to be what she had faith to do. And Jairus didn't fully understand that Jesus was the way. But he went in faith, believing. And his daughter's life was restored. So we say repent. It's understanding that in and of ourselves, we can't do anything to make a way to heaven. We can't earn it. We can't buy it. And we can't have enough memberships in churches to get there. There's only one way to heaven. That's through Jesus. The woman was only healed through Jesus. Jairus' daughter was only raised through Jesus. And if we're going to have eternal life in heaven, it's only through Jesus. Amen. Only believe. Have faith. He said, Brother Dave, that sounds easy. Well, that's because God knew it was going to be hard for us if we had to work for it. He knew there was nothing we could ever do to work for it. We would all try and fail miserably because we could never be holy enough. We could never be righteous enough. We would never be good enough. So he had Jesus do the hard work as he gave his life, shed his blood that we might go free. Only have faith and believe. And thirdly, if Jesus is all you have, you have all you need. You have all you need. There's nothing more in life that will ever fulfill you anything more than what Jesus can. There's nothing you can do in this life that you can accomplish, that there's no amount of your names being a light and no amount of money that you can secure that'll give you more than if you have Jesus Christ. If Jesus is all you have, he's all you need. And that's why sometimes some of the poorest people financially, living in the rattiest places, seem to have the most joy in their life if they know Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of people seem to think that if you know Jesus, you've been born again, you're going to be able to live in the mansions and drive the fanciest cars. And we're not promised that. Not at all. But if you know Jesus and he's your Savior, he's promised you a place in heaven. And he's promised that you'll be an heir with Jesus. There's coming a day, everything that Jesus has, you will too. But not necessarily here on earth. I can remember my mom's mom. Knew Jesus Christ as her Savior. Didn't hardly have a dime. Lived in poverty, all I can remember. Them old ratty trailer parks we went to go visit her. I can remember her giving us candy that had been expired for several months because they found it out by the dumpster behind a convenience store that was throwing them out because they couldn't sell it anymore. I remember those things. But you know what I don't remember? I don't remember her being sad. I don't remember her being sad at all. She always had joy. Now, I didn't understand it then. I was just a little fella. She died before I come to know Christ as my Savior, so I never understood the joy that she had till much later. And it's not until I think back on looking at her life and how she lived and understanding that it didn't matter what she had. She had Jesus, and that's all that mattered. She had everything. Because she had him. She did our best to raise her kids up in church knowing about Jesus. My mama got saved at a young age. And because I had a grandmother that loved Jesus, that made sure her kids knew about Jesus, that I too eventually came to Jesus. And I'm sure you can go even further back than that. I don't know. I don't know how far before my grandmother was were they saved. At what point in life did that family begin? Maybe there was a Christian family all along. We don't know. I say all that to say is she had Jesus and she had everything she needed. And she shared that. I can remember her having that big Bible. I didn't even realize what it was back then. And she had it and she loved it. It was well used. How about you today? Where do you fall in this tonight? You know Jesus Christ is your Savior? Have you given yourself to Him? Ask Him to save you? If not, the answer is simple. Only believe.